Jo Van Cool, welcoming you to another edition of Animates. And today, I'm going to be interviewing someone in Dubbo who is involved with Learners on a Lead. Her name is Karen Johnston, and I think what she has to say you will find most interesting. So, welcome Karen from Dubbo, Karen Johnston. Please tell me the Dubbo facility that you're working for with, what are some of the things that the organisation does?
Oh, we do a lot of things. It keeps growing and growing. I'm not sure when it's going to stop. But we cater for all breeds of dogs. No breed of dog is excluded. All levels of people's ability, whether they want to just learn a little bit about, you know, managing their dog at home, to high-level competition and lifestyles. You know, people who just want to know how to walk their dog better, to getting out and jogging and doing lots and lots of activity with their dogs. We try to be as inclusive as possible. I don't want anybody to be told that, no, your dog can't do this, or no, you can't do this. You know, we try and find a way around whatever has to happen so everybody can be included. We do, in regards to classes with dogs, we do everything from puppy class to pet dog obedience. We do sport. I love doing sport with dogs, and I find it's the best way to help people build better relationships with their dogs. And it doesn't necessarily sport. Sometimes people shudder at that and go, oh, no, I can't do any sport. But there's lots of things you can do that don't involve us, the humans, having to run around, which is great. So we do nose work, which is really kicking off in Australia. We do agility, we do games, and then we do some specialty classes as well, helping people to understand how to prepare their dog for things like having their ears cleaned or taking tablets or getting their nails clipped so that doesn't become a drama. So life skills as well as just basic type of obedience.
And how many of your dogs actually go into nursing homes?
I have 4 dogs and 3 of my dogs go into nursing homes.
And who takes them into nursing homes? Is it all up to you?
I take my dogs in, and then I have 2 students who take their dogs in. They've just started. One student's been doing it for a little while with his dog. He does it under supervision, but he does do visits on his own now. He's graduated to doing visits on his own at the nursing home. So we have 4 to 5 dogs going up there visiting with 3 different handlers.
And do they visit regularly, or is it a sporadic thing?
With my dogs, it's a regular thing. I'm actually put into the program, into the activities program at the nursing home, so they know when I'm coming with a dog. And some of them are, you know, sitting there tapping their fingers, where is she? Like they're desperately waiting for the dogs to turn up. With the students, because they're doing it on a volunteer basis and, you know, they have other work commitments, it's more of a, they just do it when they can.
And they require, presumably, considerable training.
Yes, they have to, because it's, you know, in a care facility, they have to have a police check to start with. And then the dogs, I assess the dogs and go whether this dog is suitable or not suitable to do this type of work. And I go in with them for the first, you know, 6 times and take them sort of, I guess, through the ropes of what you need to do, what you don't do, what things to look for. And, you know, we're not going to pick dogs that are not suitable for this kind of work, because it does take a special kind of dog.
I was going to say, what is it about a dog that makes it suitable to go into a nursing home?
A calm dog, a relaxed dog, a dog that doesn't get intimidated by or fearful of, like, wheelchairs or, you know, mobility-type assistance equipment. People that, you know, may pat roughly due to whether it's dementia or whatever other things are happening with the residents. So a dog that's pretty much, I don't like to use the word bomb-proof, but a dog that is very easygoing, very compliant, very relaxed type of dog. Size doesn't come into it. I have 3 different sizes. And then one of my clients who takes his dog in is a standard poodle, so she's quite a big dog. So size isn't, that doesn't come into it. It's just the temperament of the dog. And it has to be a dog that loves to be touched, loves to be cuddled, loves to interact with people.
And what are the differences you notice in the residents of the nursing homes? How do they respond?
Oh, wow. I could go on and on about this one. It's pretty amazing. There's lots of different reactions. Some residents don't want the dogs near them, and that's perfectly fine. But most of them just embrace it. They get excited. They get smiles on their faces. It creates conversation because, you know, you can talk to them. They go, oh, I used to have a dog. Or it just brings out conversation, which, you know, they could be sitting there not doing very much at all. And then, you know, memories are sparked and conversations happen and interaction happens. So it's not just the dog. It brings out interaction with the handler as well for communication and exchange to happen between the three of them. The dogs, I guess the dog's kind of like this catalyst that kind of bridges a bit of a gap, and they can be patting the dog, asking questions about the dog, and it's just a beautiful thing.
And I understand that you had a dingo that was trained to be a therapy dog.
Yes, he's an assistance dog, not a therapy dog.
Right.
So I had a client who has had dingoes for quite some time, and he had some medical issues, and he said, yes, I think I need an assistance dog. Do you think we can do it with one of my dingoes? And I went, why not? That's just a little bit of a challenge, but I'm sure we can do it. And so we set about the task, and we did what we had to do, and we trained, and it really came down to him. He did so much work, and he's an amazing trainer, and the dingo is just an incredibly special animal. He is just a very special animal.
And is he a purebred dingo?
He's a purebred dingo.
And quite gentle?
Oh, he is just so gentle. I would not be one bit fazed to lay on the ground and roll around with him. We actually have quite a good relationship, and he looks more like a Labrador playing with me than a dingo. Yeah.
And are there any other kinds of pets that make regular visits to nursing homes?
Not through us. I know in throughout the world there's different pets that are taken in. I know a horse in the UK that goes and does regular visits at a nursing home, so that's pretty special.
Yes, and sometimes hens too.
Yes, yes.
Because
yeah.
They can actually, the elderly or the infirm can actually nurse a hen without too much difficulty.
Because they're light, they're nice
yes.
and light.
Yes.
Yeah. So I've taught one of my dogs. He's like 30 kilos, so he's reasonable height, and he just rests his chin on their leg. So he will just go up to strangers and just rest his chin on their leg. So that's that sort of contact thing happening. So you can teach, you know, certain animals to do certain things which help.
Yeah, it's a lovely thing to do. And do you find there's a growing demand for these dogs to visit nursing homes?
Yes, incredibly. And I think the more that we can do it, the better, for sure, because of some of the things that it creates with the residents. I had one resident, I actually jotted it down because I didn't want to forget to tell you about it. I'd been visiting this lady for about 12 months, and, you know, her condition, she sort of started to deteriorate, and you know, there was no conversation there anymore. There was not recognition of people, of her family, of her husband, of her children, and she would just sort of sit there. And one day I came in, and I had my smaller dog, and so I sat him up on her chair and tried to get her to engage with him. And then next thing, he just went right to her face and he looked straight in her eyes, and she started to giggle. And then she came back for about 3 to 5 minutes. She recognised her family. She recognised her husband. She spoke words. There were tears. It was very emotional. And, you know, was it the dog that brought her back? She hadn't been back for quite some time. You know, it was an incredibly special moment, and that will stick with me for the rest of my life, that moment.
Very rare for the family, particularly, to see their elderly relative suddenly knowing them.
Yes.
Very special.
Yes, it was a very special moment. Sure.
And tell me, are there very strict rules as to how the animals interact with the clients? I mean, are they allowed normally to get up?
I think that comes down to the management of the individual facility. We spoke at length before I started and what we would do and what we wouldn't do. So I take a clean towel to each room and put it over the resident's legs if the dog's going to come and put its head on their lap, or if the dog's going to get up on the bed, we put a clean towel to each room, so we're not transferring anything from room to room. That's on room visits. Visits out in the common area, I still have a towel, but that's mainly just to sort of just protect their frail skin and legs. A lot of it comes down to common sense and being the right person to do the job, I think, and with the right animal. It's just basic common sense.
And how long does it take you to actually train a dog to go into a nursing home?
It comes more down to the temperament of the dog. So that's the first thing. They've got to have the right temperament. They've got to be dogs who are just really quite easygoing. And then the training, it's really just basic obedience training. And then you just train a few special little things just so, you know, they can rest their chin. You know, obviously very well toilet trained, so they're not going to the toilet in the nursing home. I would say if you've got the right temperament dog, you'd be probably looking at a few months to train it up.
Yeah, so it's not hugely long time.
No.
And so, do some of them shake with their paw? Do they shake hands with their paw?
Yes, I've got some that do tricks, and the residents love it when they do tricks. So that's always entertaining for them. So I'm not a big fan of dogs shaking paws, just because it can become, they may offer the paw when it's not really wanted, and that could end up scratching an elderly person's leg.
Yeah, I was thinking scratching. Yes,
and
scratching.
That's not one thing that I tend to teach. I teach a chin rest more than a paw shake.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, that's marvellous. I'm sure people will be fascinated by this, because obviously it is gaining ground, and people do want animals to visit them, and it does seem to open some kind of communication avenue.
It definitely does.
So, well, thank you so much for your time. Really grateful. We really enjoy.
And let's get more pets out there. And look,
absolutely.
A lot of nursing homes will just allow family members to bring in the family pet, and I know the two nursing homes I go to, they allow that. So they could bring in the actual resident's own dog. A lot of nursing homes do that. You just need to check. You just need to, if you've got a family member in a nursing home, just ask the question.
Yeah.
Ask the question. Most of them are very, very willing for that to happen. Obviously, the dogs need to be clean. You don't bring a dirty dog in. And as I said, all those common sense things, short nails, clean coats.
Yes, all those things.
But yeah, it's just wonderful. And the more, and you know, if you've got a really compliant dog, a really easygoing dog that loves people but's not boisterous, you know, go and see your local nursing home and see if you can, even if it's just once a month that you come in and visit, and even if it's just in the common areas, not into individual rooms, you know, that's just, you know, 5 or 10 minutes of amazing joy that you can bring to somebody for, you know, it's really worth it. I get just as much out of it as what they do, I think.
Well, I'm sure. Yeah. Anyway, thank you so much, Karen. That's lovely.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. That's all we have time for today, but I hope you've enjoyed the stories and interview with Karen Johnston. If any listener has some suggestions or comments on the programme, we'd love to hear from you on 95188811 or by email info@2rph.org.au. And this is Jo Van Cool for RPH Australia, 2RPH Sydney, saying goodbye until next time.